Today on Real Radio.
The more you have the truth of God in your heart, the less and less you'll go through that, roller coaster?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. John's Gospel, as well as these three letters, exhibit certain patterns, words, and phrases that reflect his insights into the truths that he's learned directly from the Son of God himself. Among these are knowledge, truth, and assurance. Well, the last six verses of chapter 3 here in 1 John are no exception, and we'll see why. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a lesson taken from this section of John's letter. It's called The Christian's Assurance.
But I stand before the throne of God, absolutely washed clean by the word which he has spoken unto me, as he has said in the word, and by the blood of Christ. And the confidence of that truth in what Jesus has done allows me to not only have that wonderful assurance that, hey, when I die, I'm going to appear before the throne of God, and my Jesus is going to stand right alongside me and say, Dad, he's with me. And we're going to go walking into the kingdom. And that excites me. And that's good news. We are supposed to, as Isaiah said, and Paul said in Romans 10, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring or take out the good news to those to hear. It's supposed to be the evangel, good news. We ought to be able to walk up to people and say, man, I got the greatest news for you in the world. Yeah, what is it? Jesus Christ wants to come into your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's paid all of your sins debt on the cross. He wants to give you a brand new life. Haven't you ever wanted to start life all over again? Well, yeah. He's giving you that opportunity right now. See, people usually evangelize with some internal motive to win them to their church. Well, now that you've prayed, let me suggest a church. Well, that's fine, I guess. I'll meet with people on the street somewhere, maybe at a store, whatever, and my wife gets mad at me sometimes because I'll talk with them and I'll say something and da da da, and I never push this place. You know, the person will say, well, you know, we're praying about finding a church. And they have no idea who I am. And I don't say anything. Well, that's neat. You know, I'll pray for you. That's great. You moved in the community? Yeah. You know, well, pray and the Lord, obviously the Lord will lead you to a church that you just pray. Yeah, we're praying. And now, sometimes I've been busted doing that. Because I'm not going to, if they pray, they're going to go to the church that God leads them to. You know, not everybody can go to the same church. There's not enough seats. And by the way, even if there were, the fact of the matter is, have you noticed you go to a street corner on a Friday night, Taco Bell, Burger King, and In-N-Out, and Krispy Kreme, they're all packed. They're all filled. They're full with people. Colonel Sanders, Pizza Hut. That's packed. Why? People have different flavors. They're all looking for food, but they have different flavors. And every church has a different flavor, a different ministry, but the same Spirit, the Spirit of God. And I don't say, well, you know, hey, I'm the pastor of, and why don't you come to our church? I just don't do that. And Lisa will say, why don't you tell them? They're praying about a church. Why don't you tell them to come to Calvary? Why don't you invite them? I don't do that. Well, I've been talking to a couple when that very situation is going on, and somebody walks by and says, hi, Pastor Jack. And now I have to explain, because they now don't feel welcome because I didn't invite them. And then I have to explain to them. It's crazy. Well, I don't want to force you. To know the doctrine of what the Bible says, to have it so permeate your heart, to have confidence before the throne of God. It's not only something that's coming, because we'll all stand before the throne of the Lord, but listen, it is something that can be had now. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Isn't that great news? John 8, 36, couple verses down. John says there, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Absolutely free. Now we've got good news. See, I don't want to invite somebody to Calvary. I want to invite somebody to the cross. I want to invite somebody to Jesus Christ. If they wind up here, praise God. If they wind up somewhere else that teaches the word, praise God. But my friend, the scripture says, and I want to tell you today while we're on this street corner, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. I think if people heard more Bible and less of us and less of denominationalism, they would be excited. When he says here in verse 19, the truth, the word in Greek is aletheia. It's a wonderful word. It means that which is absolutely true, absolutely sure. So this truth, what does it do? It assures our hearts. This word assure means to be absolutely convinced by arguments. Let me explain. By arguments of truth. It means to be persuaded, to yield to a greater power that generates or that results in assurance. That's the word assure. Listen, to be convinced by arguments. We've lost the true meaning in the English of the word argument. You know, the word argument is a very, very good word. You know, we've used it wrongly. Well, they were in an argument. They knocked each other out. You mean they were in a fight. They were in a disagreement. The word argue comes from the Greek, and it's a word that is used by attorneys who plead cases. Come and give your argument. The judge will say to the defense, do you have any closing what? Exactly. Arguments. Good reasons why we should listen to you. Yes, Your Honor, we do have some closing arguments. And that attorney is paid to bail you out at that last moment with his closing arguments. It's the most important moment of the trial. And you better have something. Jesus has something for us. The blood of Christ, his own shed blood. We can have that confidence because he's done it for us. And it says that it's going to assure our cardia. You recognize that word? Yeah, our heart. The word, though, listen, it says in the scripture, the heart, but the word in the Greek implies, of course, it doesn't mean our muscle. What good is that thing? I mean, don't get me wrong, it's fine now. Thank you, Lord. Just keep it going. The word actually, cardia, though it does mean heart, it's the seat of the emotions. It's the seat of thoughts. It's also translated the middle of the man. Isn't that cute? The middle of the man. Well, it's the soul. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, Peter says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word entrance here means to be a huge gate swung open for you. Now, I don't know how you feel right now. How do you feel? Do you feel, you know, I love the Lord, but I feel like I'm going to hell? Or, you know, yesterday was a good day, but today I'm really doubting. Man, I spent so many hours in 3 years of my Christian walk when I first came to Christ thinking I went from salvation to losing it, from salvation to losing it. I had it on Sunday afternoon, but by Monday night I had lost it. I couldn't wait for Thursday night to get saved again. And then, you know, Friday I would blow it, and then, oh, Sunday morning, hallelujah, I get saved again. You get saved once. Are you battling like that? Are you saying, you know, no one's going to say, yeah, that's me, brother. But listen, I know there's people in here like that. I used to be like that. And it's not that you're bad or ugly or indifferent or mean. The more you have the truth of God in your heart, the less and less you'll go through that, oh, roller coaster. It'd begin to flatten out after a while. And you know what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And all of a sudden, as you begin to ingest and trust and rest in the word, that what happens is the emotions begin to get in line with the demand of the Spirit. The soul of who we are begins to obey the command of the Spirit. And you don't worry about that anymore. It's not that you become callous or indifferent. No. In fact, you're more sensitive to the Spirit than ever before. But you don't worry about it. But you know, in here, you may be worrying about it right now. You may be thinking, I don't know if I'm saved. I'm just not sure. Well, first of all, make sure. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you need to do that. But if you've already done that, then you just need to trust him. His truth has been given to you. He has made you and I promises, and he'll keep them. And you can have confidence. Absolutely sure. Confidence. In Acts chapter 7, what a wonderful story of confidence. In Acts chapter 7, verses 55 and on, it's Stephen, the first martyr of the church. Stephen is there, and it says, being full of the Holy Spirit. Stephen is there. And it says that as they were getting ready to stone him, remember, they were going to kill him for his testimony. It says that he looked up steadfast into heaven and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, he told it the wrong crowd, but he says, behold, I see the heavens opened. That's a wide opening, big, huge, just like Peter was talking about. Stephen says, I see the heavens opened. It's huge. And the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Listen, Jesus, Hebrews tells us, after he offered himself, went to heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus sits down. He's the high priest who sits. The high priest that was on earth could never sit down. Jesus sits. Well, why does Stephen say he's standing? You know what's funny? I'm going to give you the answer that's going to save you a whole semester at Bible college. Is he standing or is he sitting? You know what? He sits because his work is done. But every time, oh, how precious is the death of the saints in the sight of the Lord. That he stands when they're coming home. Oh, yeah, he sits. The work is done. But friend, according to what I see here in Acts chapter 7, the moment you and I die, Jesus stands up and says, come on home. He's standing there. Stephen saw the heavens opened. And it wasn't a little crack. You're not going to die or get raptured and there's going to little squeeze through this thing. Suck it in. Oh, I made it. At home, we have an iron thing that goes on the door, you know. And if you want to get in that room with that, when the iron's down, when somebody's ironing, you got to be of a certain weight, which I'm not. Or size to squeeze through, because you just can't get through. Listen, the gate to heaven for us who trust in Christ is going to be swung open wide. You're not going to come through, you know, with your Levi's on fire. Whoa, boy, I barely made it. No. Abundantly. In the Old Testament, in 2 Kings 2:11, there's an abundant opening there. Elijah and Elijah are walking together. It says there that a whirlwind descended out of heaven and a chariots of fire and horses of fire. And the chariot of God came out of the sky. And it parted Elijah and Elijah one from another. And after it had separated them, there it says that the whirlwind took Elijah up into heaven. Fiery chariot and fiery horses in a fiery scene. And Elijah was absolutely both blessed and blown away. In a blaze of glory, Elijah inherited heaven. My friend, we can have confidence in the Lord to do this for us. His truth builds our confidence, confidence before the throne, confidence in spite of ourselves. That's good news. Look, verse 20, for if our heart condemns us, you ever feel condemned? God doesn't want me. God doesn't love me. Why would he let me into his kingdom? Listen, if your heart is condemning you now, God is greater than your heart and he knows all things. Isn't that wonderful? You feeling like you're not living up to the Christian standard. You're blowing it. And oh God, I can't stand. Listen, if your heart condemns us, God is greater. And there's some of you that have come from legalistic backgrounds and you're walking so right on, but you didn't spend an hour in prayer today. Or maybe you missed your Bible reading program that you have and you're beating yourself up. That's how I used to be. I would have made it a great Muslim. I'm telling you, I would have been a great Muslim. Man, when I blew it, I'd beat myself up. That's it. I'm going to pray an extra hour. And I did. I was a sick, arrogant, self-righteous mess. And I would talk to other Christians. And we'd be talking, but how much, you know, where are you reading on your scripture? You see, if you're on that kind of crusade, you're always asking people, so how's your Bible reading? Only a chapter today? Well. And you're such a jerk when you're like that. That's wrong. But man, if I blew it, if I was sick, couldn't read, whatever, Lord, I'll do 5 chapters today. That doesn't make you spiritual. It makes you absolutely the opposite. Listen, confidence, we can have it in Christ in spite of ourselves. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. It's been said that our feelings and thoughts often get the best of us. I just want to add this. Sometimes our feelings and thoughts often get the best of God as well. Removes them right from the throne room of our heart. Condemned, feeling condemned. Jeremiah 17:9, he says there, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things, and who can know it? Listen, if your heart is condemning you, consider this. John 3:17, Jesus says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. How about this? You already know it. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ? Someone will ask, what's the difference between condemnation and guilt? That's a very great question to ask. I don't know if you can tell the difference between the two. All I know is whenever you're feeling or sensing any of that kind of stuff, don't sit there and bicker about which is it. Go to Christ immediately. He will never condemn you. If you're feeling guilty, go to him anyway. Have you done something wrong? Go to him. We can have confidence in spite of ourselves. I'm going to give you this verse, and off we go to the next point here. Those of you who are battling with this, I want to just give you personally what helped me and helps me still. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Listen to this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Okay? Great. Verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? That he's come to save sinners. Paul says, of whom I am chief. All right? The knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Anybody battling with pornography or thoughts about it? What about temper? What about your pride? Or what about, you name it. Bring that thought under the captivity of Christ. Well, how often? As often as you think it. You know what that means? It could be 5 times a day, if you're right on, or if you're not, you can join the club with the rest of us, and it could be 100 times a day. You can be tooling along, and all of a sudden, there's this thing. Somebody cuts you off, and somebody cuts you off of the freeway, and immediately, my mind, I think of the grill. This is terrible to admit, but if you ever cut me off, this is what goes through my mind. The grill of my car, I've seen too many James Bond movies, I guess. The grill of my car opens up, and there's machine guns in the grill. You know, that's what I would love to do. And all the time, I'm a Christian, sitting behind the wheel. It's like driver's ed class. You remember, you see the movie with Goofy? He's, and he gets there and he gets behind the wheel, he turns into a demon. When those thoughts come in, you got to bring every one of those thoughts under the captivity of Christ. Are you being tempted? Bring it under the captivity of Christ. Wrestle with it. Fight with it. How many times? All day long if necessary. Fight it. Fight hard, but fight it. Very, very important. You won't live another day if you give in to it spiritually. It will just absolutely eat on you. Take the thought to Christ. And also we see here that there's a confidence continually before him. We can live and walk with him. Look what he says in verse 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. It doesn't mean to sit around and gloat about it. It means to get up and move or motor in it. Hebrews 10, verse 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. When we recognize our assurance in Jesus Christ, we can move on in confidence because our hearts, listen, no longer rule. Our hearts have been overruled by God's wonderful saving grace. Number two, his truth encourages us to pray. His truth does. You ever read the Bible? Do you ever read the Bible and come away with, after reading it, not wanting to pray? You know what? I find myself not praying when I'm not in this book. Did anybody hear that? Is that how it is in your life? If I'm not in this book, I'm not prone to pray. If I'm in this book, I not only want to pray, I've got things to pray about. I don't understand people. You haven't had many problems, I guess. I don't know. When people say, I just don't know what to pray about. Are you for real? You know, how's your kids, or how's your job, or how's your family, or how's your parents? How's your neighbors? How's your health? You don't have anything to pray about. You can't think about it. I want to know who you are, brother. I want to give you a prayer list. I'll give you something. His truth encourages us to pray. He says in verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him. Do you hear any apology given there? He just says it. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Boy, is that a confident statement or what? Oh, it sounds a little arrogant to me. John's standing in the Lord. If you were to interview John after saying that, John, don't you think you're a sinner? Oh, yeah, I know I'm a sinner. Do you keep all the commandments of God? Well, no man is able to keep all the commandments of God. But Jesus says this is the commandment of God. To trust in him whom God has sent. Well, I can do that. That's what God requires. Well, we can all do that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson taken from the last six verses of 1 John chapter 3, it's a lesson called The Christian's Assurance. The Christian's Assurance. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through this New Testament letter written by the Apostle John. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget that every Monday night, we'd be honored if you'd join us on hischannel.com. You can catch the latest Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program. Again, the show, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Now, if you haven't seen the program yet, we really think you're going to like it. If you have seen the program, well, you know what I'm talking about. Real Life with Jack Hibbs is just that. It's a program that takes a look at real life issues that affect you and me, believers, in today's world. Pastor Jack talks about issues like biblical prophecy, the nation of Israel, the religion of Islam, defending the faith, defending the truth and reliability of Scripture, also the Judeo-Christian worldview on politics, the military, government, and a whole lot more. It's a great program. Now, sometimes you'll hear Pastor Jack himself teach about these topics, whereas other times he'll sit down and interview somebody who specializes in that particular field. You're going to like this show. Real Life with Jack Hibbs, every Monday night, 7 o'clock, Pacific Coast Time, on hischannel.com. Now, if you'd like to see some recent interviews and topical teachings, just click Video on Demand right there at the top of the page. Then, of course, join us tonight for the broadcast of Real Life with Jack Hibbs. 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. We hope to see you there. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.